They've got like actual like flatware, and it's a dollar. Molly, you scratch my ass. But they have like actual flatware. She's like scooting on the carpet. But you got an itchy asshole. Happens sometimes. But
this is Wasted Information. Wasted Information.
Welcome to Wasted Information. I'm Jimmy.
I'm Brandon.
What are you drinking, Brandon?
It's Packaway Vienna Style Lager from West 6th Brewing in Lexington, Kentucky. It's a Vienna Style Lager. It's a solid lager. It's 5.3% ABV. I bought a six pack. There's only a few, one left.
Ooh.
To be fair, my wife had at least one.
You know what's funny? I bought a four pack of bottles. And I drank one before we started recording.
Those sound very fancy.
I know. I blew through my second one like 15 minutes into the happy hour. And I've blown through my third one like since we got back to the microphones.
Were you going to tell us what it is? Or
you didn't ask me.
Oh, what are you drinking?
This is what happens when we drink too much at the beginning.
No, this is the perfect amount of drinking.
I know. That's why we're hard restarting again on formatting.
This is Wasted Information.
Well, I'm drinking Quaff On Brewing Company's Peanut Butter Busted Knuckle, which is a peanut butter version of the Busted Knuckle Porter that I've had before on an episode somewhere. I have the four pack here because it's got the description. And you know how I am with descriptions. The audience doesn't because it's the first episode they're probably going to hear. But I can't read out loud well. Quaff On! Peanut Butter Busted Knuckle puts a twist on our award-winning porter. Crafted with dark malts, this medium-bodied brew boasts a balanced, roasty flavor enhanced by the addition of peanut butter. I should probably drink more before I start reading out loud because that went smoother than anything else I've ever read.
And we'll just remind everyone, remind them, ask them. I don't know. If you want to hear us talk more about the beer and or the brewery or whatever, just let us know. Otherwise, we're not going to do it. We're going to do what we did today.
Yeah.
If you want drinking part to be more prominent.
I forgot.
Just tell us.
Quaff On Brewing Company is in Brown County, Indiana. Quaff On is legit. Busted Knuckle is apropos of me because in the winter, my knuckles crack really badly. I think that's partially because of my background in boxing, tearing up my hands. But you could strike a match on my knuckles.
For what it's worth, West 6th in Lexington is one of my go-tos. They have a very wide selection, and they are up the road for me. I do appreciate them, and I shout them out quite a bit.
Do you know how much that six pack's? Do you know how much that six pack cost?
Yeah, close enough.
I know. Do you know how much that six pack cost? I can't get the sentence out. It doesn't matter. I'm just trying to transition to. We're going to talk about finance today.
If you listen to the happy hour and the full happy hour, we got there in the end. We started talking about the GameStop hedge fund debacle that happened recently. We didn't really talk much about like personal investment.
Much about it at all. That's what we were saying for this.
We just teased it a little bit. Just letting people know this didn't come out of nowhere. We didn't talk about it. We've been talking about it while we've been drinking.
On personal finance and stock trading, this all happened because the app Robinhood, everyone is mad at because they were siding with the hedge fund fellas and all that. So they shut down their website or their app and all that.
I know you did a little bit in the stock market.
Well, that's the thing. That's what I was getting to.
Are you a Robinhood user?
Not anymore.
Oh. Were you?
I was, but literally hours before this went down, I had just sold my 9 shares of Build-A-Bear Workshop stock because they hit a 52-week high, So here's the thing with Build-A-Bear Workshop, BBW on the Dow Jones, whatever.
That's the only time BBW means Build-A-Bear Workshop.
Exactly.
Is on the Dow Jones. I learned that in
economics class in high school because that was my sleeper pick. I figure buying the stock, buy it like in August, September, it's going to be at its lowest. It's going to peak in the beginning of February for like Valentine's Day. I was planning on selling it last February when it was going to peak, and it spiked, but I forgot. Well, they were also about to announce a Baby Yoda doll, but then COVID hit, and
no one was in the shops touching all them bears.
Exactly. You have to do the whole spiel of like rubbing the heart on your face and like giving good thoughts. Or rub the little thing on your forehead so it's real smart. My sister worked at Build-A-Bear Workshop in high school, so you got to make up stuff just to be fun. It's like rub it on your arm so it's real strong. Like rub it on your feet so like it has soul.
Dollar's a dollar.
Yeah, it's just depending on what you did that day. You didn't always do that. Sometimes you got that position and then had to put the heart in and sew it up. Sometimes you just were the stuffer. So they hand you just like the doll skin. And
so because of this experience, you bought all the Build-A-Bear stock.
I had 9 shares. Like if I ended up being a majority holder on that, that'd have been funny. As like I'm making some decisions here. Like I need to vote.
But how much were shares when you bought in on this?
Like the highest I bought it at was like 3 something when I bought extra shares. But I initially bought it was like 212 a stock. And I sold it at like 553.
So you bought back in? Oh no! Well, you sold it. Okay.
I bought in later, like before last February, to like pad me out a little bit, and then I forgot to sell them. So then I had to hold them for another year. But then I got a notification on my phone that said it hit a 52-week high. I was like, sell, 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 sell. So I still made a profit.
Is this the only stock that you mess around with?
Currently, yes. Okay. When I first got Robin, because Robinhood boasts on all their ads, it's like once you get a free stock once you buy in, and it's like, oh, it could be Apple, it could be Amazon. It's not going to be a real good stock. I got Zynga. They're main.
What are they doing now? So, mobile app
Facebook
games.
They're like the main source for like Facebook app games. So when Farmville was the thing, Zynga was hot.
I was going to say, that ad money.
It was like $5.99 or something, and I had 1 share of it. But you have to keep it for like at least 3 full days or 3 full market days before you can sell it. Because like if you ended up getting an Amazon stock, you're just dumping it and cleaning up with like however much that costs.
Uh-huh.
Or like a Tesla That's stock. Fair. But on the ads, they say it's something like, like Apple.
Or do they give you a full stock, or is it like they give you
1 share?
This much money worth of a stock.
No, like, you get 1 full share.
Oh.
At whatever market
price.
That's
right. Yeah, a share, sorry.
But on the commercial, like on the like ad reads I've heard for it, well, back when they did ad reads for it, the examples were you get a free stock like Apple or Amazon or Ford. That's a steep fucking drop off. Amazon to Ford. Ford stock is nothing.
But, I mean, they're brands people know and they expect are going to do well, which I feel like is, so to be 100% honest and fair, I have no money in. I have retirement funds in. So, like, I have a 401k, which I rolled over now that I'm self-employed into a SEP IRA, things like that. So, like, yeah. I have these long mutual funds and things going. I don't mess around in like daily stock market stuff.
Yeah.
Yet.
And like I wasn't investing. I was just piddle farting with a couple bucks here and there.
Yeah.
But just in comparison, right now Ford stock is at $10.53. Amazon is $3,206.20.
So that really only makes a difference when they say we're going to give you a full stock though. Because, I mean, other than that, it's based off of percent growth, right? But when they say something like, oh, you get Apple, Amazon, Ford, those are names people know. Because people are like, oh, I know Ford. And that's what I was getting to is, that's the main mistake people make when they don't know much about trading, when they think, oh, I'm going to get in with one of these quick trade apps and I'm going to invest in the companies that I know. And they think that those companies are going to do well. A lot of times those companies don't grow very fast. If that's what you're going for, if you're looking to make a quick buck, it's not going to happen on a lot of these companies that you know.
And that's the thing too with like, even if you did get like an Apple or Amazon type stock, like the drop offs are like percent, like it's like, oh, it went down 1%. 1% on that is so much more devastating than 1% on Ford.
Yeah.
To where like,
it's all like about percentage growth.
Yeah. Cause it shows like your portfolio, your buying power, and then like how much you have invested. And it's like, so your invested number is going to drop off a lot just based on day to day activity with the bigger company. But then you can go with like a penny stock and just like hope for the best that it goes up, like buy another dollar and then you bail out and like double your profits.
Yeah, that's, I mean, that's what, if people are looking to make a quick buck, I've heard that's the way to go. Like, personally, to be fair, so like I've talked a little bit to like my father-in-law, he does some stuff in the stock market. And like my sister-in-law, one of them, like for funsies, bought into Bitcoin a few years ago.
Oh.
And that's just been a wild ride.
That's the fucking dude. Speaking of that, Dogecoin, you know what that is?
Yes.
That's like another cryptocurrency that someone made in retaliation. Like,
well, it was literally made almost as
a parody to Bitcoin.
Yeah.
But it still it acts the same because, well, Bitcoin, yeah, like you said, a wild ride. It went from being virtually worthless to being worth thousands of dollars a piece.
Well, and it didn't even start. It started really, it started, you know, as almost a real value of, you know what you're going to get when you put in. So, you know, I have no idea what the scale is anymore, but let's, for funsies, say it started like, if you put in $1, you're going to have one thousandth of a Bitcoin or whatever.
Yeah.
You put in $1,000, you have one Bitcoin, but you can split it up and use it. And it was pretty stable for a while.
It started out like people that invest in like gold coins, like Krugerrands and stuff. It's like worth its weight in gold. So its value increases based on like the value of gold. But this is like a digital version of that at first.
And the, yeah, and then now as more people got involved, so like it's so hard to explain blockchain and I don't even fully understand it. More people got involved, and then now you don't even have to be like mining your own Bitcoin to be making money off of it. You can literally just be trading on the value of the Bitcoin, which is insane. Like, and the whole thing is, it's unregulated right now.
Yep.
Which means the second any government steps in and says, hey, we're going to start regulating this, it could either be a almost a literal gold mine for people or completely destroy them. It's such a weird, silly game. Like, I don't think I trust any of it right now.
Yeah, and that, the thing too, like, if you look at it as like a physical coin, like gold coins, you can buy into it in a way of like your shape, like taking like a knife, like shaving a corner off of it. Like you have, if it's worth $3,000, you want to invest $100, you have $100 worth of a Bitcoin.
Right.
And it's such an, so you can't, you don't have to just buy a Bitcoin, but you can buy pieces and like build to
Bitcoin vending machines and shit now, which is insane.
Yeah, like places take Bitcoin as currency.
You can literally go buy Bitcoin in a vending machine.
Well, yeah.
In some countries, which is crazy. The gold thing reminded me randomly of like personal finances. And speaking of gold, like my grandpa was talking the other day, and he's older, and he's talked about like, oh, when I leave you guys, this and that, and like whatever. It's always a weird conversation. But he's always like, oh, yeah, just don't forget about the gold. And I was like, the gold?
He just has a gold, like, stash?
Apparently, this dude has gold stash somewhere. I don't know how much. It could be one little nugget. It could be, like,
it could be,
you know, like a little coin.
Level.
It could be, like, yeah, just like a couple full bars of gold. Like, I have no idea.
Well, because that was the thing in Parks and Rec, Ron Swanson's like, I have several amounts of gold like buried around the city
in
a disclosed location. And then that was when he got married, or was married to like Lucy Lawless, and like she had two daughters, and he's like, I'll leave them, each like 2% of my wealth, like 2%. And then he showed him like the amount, and they're like, oh my God, how much money do you have?
So yeah, I have no idea. I don't expect any of it. Like, I never expect or need any of that. It was just, he just like mentioned it in passing, something about like, oh yeah, this and that. And he's like, oh, and don't forget the gold. And I was like, all right, not where I'm going to put my personal finances, but I did have a plan. Like, so I will say, I was never really dumb with my money, but like any person, when you first come into money, I was excited to have money. I think that's the best way to put it. Of like, oh shit, I have money I can spend, even though I didn't really. I feel like a lot of people are in the same boat. Like I was, especially like in college, and I knew I didn't have the money, but I had a steady paycheck coming in. So it was like, oh, these random things are on Groupon. So like, I fucking bought a mattress off of Groupon. Like, I bought, like, we had so many random like shit purchases. And even like when we were young, we used to do the Secret Santa thing, but not really. Like, we would just go out in the group and do like the treat yourself day.
Yeah. Well, we just tried stupid shit. So how we tried to do it was, it started with three of us. Yeah. And then we were like, oh, we're going to split. It was like the other two buys the third person a gift, and we go. And then we realized that was inefficient. Mm-hmm. And then it was like, well, you buy him this, you buy this, you buy this. And then we're like, why don't we just buy it ourselves? Well, because then Ian bowed out because he wanted to start doing themes. That's when he started getting into games.
Well, the whole thing was like, okay, the two, it was, we all went shopping together anyway. And it was the silliest thing. Like,
yeah, buy me this. I was like, okay. And then I pay for it. And then I go somewhere, I was like, you buy me this. Like, why don't we just buy it for ourselves?
So it became the silliest thing where we realized, okay, we could all just spend a day around Christmas, go shopping together, and all like buy one thing we wouldn't normally get. And then I think, like, at least the two of us matured even more to the fact that we're like, hey, we could just buy shit whenever we want.
Yeah. You know what's crazy, though, too, real quick? That's our second Parks and Rec reference. I brought up Ron Swanson's gold. Now we're talking about Treat Yourself.
We did Treat Yourself before it was on Parks and Rec, I'm pretty sure.
Around
the same time.
It evolved into Treat Yourself after Parks and Rec came up with it. But I mean, that's what I did this year for myself. But yeah, it's the idea of buy something for yourself. Because when somebody's like asking, what do you want for Christmas? It's like, I don't know. Like, I can't think of anything that I wouldn't already buy myself.
And then we all bought each other stupid shit.
Yeah. But like, I'm talking about just now, like as adults right now. If somebody asked, like if your wife asked you, what do you want for Christmas? It's like, I can't think of anything that I wouldn't just get on Amazon and be like, oh, I'm going to buy this.
That was also the difference of like, see, like I was saying, like once I thought I had money coming in, it was like, oh, I can do something with that money. Or like, you know, before I thought I had money coming in, even when I had money coming in, I knew I didn't have a lot. I wasn't making a lot, you know, when I was in high school, college. But it was enough to like still ask someone for something, or like, oh, this would be cool, or that would be cool. Or like, I really took value in the like, not even necessarily like, oh, I got a cool gift from you guys. Like, it was fun to go get those gifts, but it was like something I wouldn't have normally done because I knew I didn't have the money for it.
Yeah.
And like, I was still okay with asking people for certain things. Like, even my grandparents and stuff, they'd always be like, oh, what do you want? Like, yeah, as I was growing older, it's this transition from like, yeah, I remember being little and asking for like a telescope or something, to like getting older and be like, yo, I want a black V-neck sweater. Like, I know I don't want to go buy one, but like, here's one at Macy's. That one, go get it. Like, that was the, you know, transition. And now, when I say I don't want anything, I literally mean, like, I don't want anything.
Yeah.
But I think that's also, like, I've adopted a little bit of a intentional, like, minimalist lifestyle of...
Well, I mean, I wouldn't call it a little bit.
Rid of most of my shit.
Like, it's definitely a heavier lifestyle than you're putting on to be.
What's that?
I'm saying it's not so much... You're downplaying it a lot of, like, a little bit of it, like, it's... definitely been a thing in your life for a while. It's like the minimalist thing.
It takes intention when you first get started into like, hey, I'm gonna get rid of a bunch of stuff.
Yeah, like we did the one year we did the December of getting rid of things.
Yeah, yeah.
And that was actually really nice. The 30-day
minimalism game.
And like just coming up like day one, you get rid of one thing. Day two, you get rid of two, up to 31. And it ends up being like 281 or like, or no, it was like 500.
Well, it's like 500 something. Yeah.
But yeah.
It's a lot of shit. You don't realize how much shit you have until you do something like that.
And then like I'm not as much fan of like labels with it. With minimalism. That's like, because I have some stuff. I just don't like clutter. It does go into the minimalism, I guess, ideal to where it's like, not so much the thing where people are like, oh, does it spark joy? It gets to the point where it's like, is there something that's like, I have no use for this? But I get too far in the opposite end of where, like, I'll throw shit out that I think I don't, but then need it like 4 months down the road. It's like, oh, I wish I kept that thing.
Yeah, that's fair. And I mean, to be fair, like I am a staunch fan of like the minimalists and listen to them regularly and follow their stuff and support them. And they have rules for some of those things though too, that are like, you know, like the 90-day rule, like are you gonna use this in the next 90 days? So that's a good, like, if you're looking at something like, I could throw this out right now, I'm not using it. Am I gonna use it 90 days from now, or have I used it in the last 90 days? Just so, like, you're not randomly throwing away.
Yeah.
But they also have other rules, like, quote, rules, like, to get around that. The, like, 20-20 rule. If I throw this out, does it matter? Not really. If I can replace it in less than 20 minutes for less than $20, then, like, yeah. So, like, okay, yeah, I might throw out a pair of flip-flops, but then randomly need them when they're walking around my backyard. Like, well, shit, I can run to Target, buy a pair of $5 flip-flops and be back in 20 minutes, and, you know, didn't affect me. I'm not going to take that out of my life. And, like, what's $20, you know, here or there? Yeah. Or for someone, I mean,
granted,
for
some people,
it's a lot.
I've been in a position where $20.
That's fair.
Was a lot.
Yeah, me too.
But I'm also, I wouldn't say I'm fucking rolling in the dough right now, but I'm financially secure for one of the first times in my life to where some of the things like wanting a different pair of shoes is like, do I really need, I've lived my life a lot of times. It's like, I've talked myself out of buying stuff that I probably could use or benefit from having just cause I don't absolutely need it, because I've come from a position of every fucking dollar counts.
So like how we were talking in my journey of minimalism, as I got rid of a lot of things, there was a point where I kind of wanted to see how few things I could have. And I'm still kind of there. At one point, I owned literally two pairs of pants. Like, not counting, like, okay, these are, like, dress pants or go with my suit or something.
Yeah, like two pairs of jeans.
I had a blue and a brown pair. Like, that was it. And I was like, all right, well, I need at least one more pair. So, like, I literally got to the minimum. It was like, can't, like, challenging myself, can I do this? And went, okay, I need at least one more pair because I don't want to ruin my a pair of one of these, you know, cutting, mowing the grass or working in my wood shop or something, you know. So so in fact, literally today, so at right now, I will tell you, I have two pairs of brown pants, two pairs of blue pants, and one pair of like work jeans that are like an old pair of jeans that have like holes in the knees, pretty wore down. I was like, all right, I need an actual pair of work, like, shop pants. So I bought a pair of pants today. I bought a pair of, like, reinforced, like, nice, like, double padded, reinforcing the seams and knees, like, something I could wear in the wood shop, something I could wear renovating the house, I could wear working on the yard, and I can get rid of the other pair of jeans with the holes in them. But I was like, all right, this pair of jeans has a function. I think that was part of my finances and like being smart about that was I'm only going to buy things when I really need them. And I no longer like frivolously buy things because I can. So I'm to the point where, like, to be honest, I can, if I want to go buy something because it's shiny, like if I want to buy a new watch, I can go buy a new watch. I don't need a watch. I don't wear watches. So I'm not going to do it. I'm going to waste the money on it. I don't know. I also don't have a budget though. Like, I heard a lot of people, like, when they're planning this, like, who are like, oh, man, the best way to get into that is, like, to actually set a budget. Know how much you're spending on food and know how much you're spending on your utilities and know how much you're going to spend on clothing every month. Like, I don't have a... Do you have a budget?
I know... I have a general idea of, like, what's coming in, like, paycheck-wise, and, like, what I... Like, what my rent is. Well, you got a house now. Like, I don't
I have a mortgage.
I mean, like, I don't have anything written down as, like, this is how much I need to set. I just know, basically, when things are coming due, how much money that's going to be. Like, I haven't... It's been a minute since I've had a spot where I had to be like, okay, I can't
I
buy
need to make
this
sure I have
because
it.
Yeah. I need to pay rent. Or if you want to get real, I guess, dark in a time where I was like, okay, I get paid in 4 days or I get paid Friday. Right now it's Thursday morning.
Yeah.
If like I have $15 in my bank account, if I put $11 in my gas tank because I'm on empty, I have $4 yeah. for food today. Thankfully, I'm not in a position like that anymore to where I'm not.
Fuck, dude, and you know what? You know, I've been there.
Yeah.
Where
when you and Chloe first went out to Jersey, like,
oh, shit.
You didn't have a job.
I mean, we weren't quite there, but like I had no job when we first moved. We were smart before, and we saved a little bit going out there with the hope that I would get a job within 3 months.
How long did it take?
Almost 2, I think, that I actually found something. And then I was working in New York City, which was crazy. But, I mean, I remember, New Jersey is one thing. Like, I remember when we moved out there, we were like, we need staples for the house. We had never been anywhere in New Jersey and never been in the city, and we like drove to the dollar store to like buy, you know, toilet paper and some canned food and stuff just to get through like that week, and like actually then sit down and plan and be like, all right, if we bought like, you know, dollar cleaning supplies and stuff to get the house like set up, like the rental that we were in.
Real quick on note, like knowing how to use dollar, I remember being at a point, especially being like growing up broke, but then also getting taught like this sense of false pride.
Oh, yeah.
Of like, oh, I don't want to do that. I don't want to have to shop at like the discount stuff because I feel like, but Dollar Tree, everything's a dollar. They have, yeah. If you need plates, you need dishes, you need cups, they've got like actual like flatware and it's a dollar. Molly, you scratched my ass. But they have like actual flatware. She's like scooting on the carpet, but you got an itchy asshole. Happens sometimes, but they have like legit like plates. I had a thing with friends when I was in South Bend where every Wednesday we met for dinner. We had like a dinner party, and there was like 4 of us. So every 4th time was your turn to cook. And at that time, I wasn't making as much money as I'm making now, so budget was kind of tight. I didn't like it. It ended up falling off because everybody just kind of couldn't.
Yeah.
Everybody couldn't make the time for it. But I was in a position where I was like, I'm spending, like I'm going all, like I don't want to half-ass it cooking for people. But I'm spending as much on this one meal, because what it's equating to, because I'm cooking, and then one of them invited another
couple days worth of food. I mean,
exactly. It was another, because then there was a 5th person added to it.
I mean, I feel like you and I were in the same boat. A lot of times we're like, at least I was there, where like when I didn't have a lot of money, I'd meal prep because I could cook the same thing, and I had no problem eating the same thing for 4 or 5 days.
Oh, yeah.
Dude. Like, I would just buy chicken in bulk and, like, make a bunch of rice and,
not
like,
even get to
throw
chicken.
Some frozen veggies in it. Like,
that's the weird opposite, because I eat a lot of chicken now, and you don't eat meat, but no. I would fuck up. Like, I love black beans. So, black beans and rice with throw some cheese on it.
That's I feel like this is why I learned how to cook really well. And, like, cooking with Brandon, like, I used to use that hashtag on my social media posts. Cooking with Brandon became a thing that I would post about. And most of the time, people were like, oh, my God, it looks delicious. And, like, wow, that's so creative. And, like, this and that. It was shit that, like, was buried in my pantry or, like, my roommates didn't want anymore. And I would make really good meals out of it because I didn't have the money to go buy the food. Like when I did, I remember I did make some really good hauls, but like when I went and bought food, it was like fresh produce and like things to supplement.
So the canned stuff. I didn't quite go that way. Mine was a situation of if I'm cooking for someone, I made the comparison before of like making spaghetti sauce, just making a red sauce. It's like if I'm cooking for myself, I'm just buying a jar of sauce. I had a roommate, Eugene, taught me a hack on that. You buy, don't buy Prego, don't buy Ragu, like a name. Buy the store brand basic sauce and then season it yourself.
Oh, 100%.
And doctor it up. And that's what I do. But if I'm making sauce for, if I'm having company, I'm cooking for someone, I've got a can of tomato sauce. I've got stewed tomato. I'm making a sauce from almost scratch. Like I'm making legit sauce, but that's just because
depending on how much you make though, that can actually be cheaper, which is what I've learned. So like as I transitioned into like, okay, being like, living alone and being, I actually had more of a budget when I lived alone than I do now after being married for, well, we'll say like 5 years after being coupled and partnered and living with someone else for, you know, 6-7 years. Because, you know, we're more comfortable. Obviously, we have two incomes and we can kind of play off of everything more. But, okay, so, now I feel like, when it was just me, I didn't have the time to, like, do my own stuff. But it was convenience. And convenience costs money.
Yes.
And now I can buy fresh produce and I can make my own tomato sauce in bulk. I can make my own hot sauce, barbecue sauce, whatever. I can make that in bulk. I can can all that. I can grow my own ingredients for the sauces if I want to now. Like I have the time and this literally the space to do that because I put in the time earlier. But like,
and that really that's got to be a t-shirt for this podcast. Not to cut you off, but to cut you off. As far as like making stuff, that's something. It's ridiculously obvious but never really dawned on me because like just look at my vodka sauce, arguably the best thing I make. The amount I gave you and that cost maybe $6 like in ingredients where if you buy a jar of like store brand or like a name brand like Bertolli vodka sauce, it's gonna cost you the same for like a quarter of the amount. But like just making it on your own, like you said, buying produce. Like you said, when you're cooking for yourself, when it's just a single person, you don't have the means to like save stuff for weeks on weeks.
There's the two issues there. Either it's just you and you can't get through everything you make, or you don't have time to do that. You don't have the time to put in because it's just you.
Yeah.
And you also have to take care of the house and take care of the pets you have and take, you know, go to work and go to school and do it. Like when I was going to school and working and taking care of my dog, what time did I have to cook?
Exactly.
Like, you know, I had the 10-pound bag of frozen chicken and a can of black beans and you throw it all together and you make whatever you can for the week. Like, you know, the 20-pound bag of rice that you scoop out and there you make up at a time.
$15 get you 20 pounds of rice, get you if you can get a rice cooker. That's something I wanted to bring up before, like, because we talked about in the happy hour, just to say, we talked about tuna for a second. There was a meal I would make in college called Broke Ass Casserole. It was, you cook a cup of rice, which makes about 2.5 cups of cooked rice, give or take. Yep. So you get the rice, you throw all that in a bowl, you get a can of tuna, you drain it, you throw that in the bowl. You get a can of corn, microwave it for like 3 minutes to cook it. After you drain it, you put that in the bowl. You throw some shredded cheese and enough hot sauce to make it edible. And you've got a couple pounds of food right there. And it's super rice heavy, so it's filling. And it probably costs about 80 cents a serving, I think is like when you're desperate, when you're struggling. You got your protein, you got carbs in there, you got corn to make you feel like a little bit of a human eating food, not just eating cat food.
But that's fair.
But then that's evolved. Like I've used that base and I've like dude, if you had chicken instead of tuna, you've got like a real meal. You throw some black beans in it, it's actually food. It's not.
Put that in a pan, put some breadcrumbs on top, and cook it for 35 minutes.
Exactly.
You're good.
Like, we've both been in positions, like, financially, too, where yeah. we've always survived. We've never given up. We never tapped out to where it's like we've always figured out a way to get through it to where we're in positions where we don't
we're fucking
need to
lucky,
live
dude. Both of us were really, oh, I mean, sure. we worked really hard and we were really lucky.
But then that's the thing, too, because we didn't really have a safety net. There's some people that have parents that are fairly off. Like,
oh, yeah. No, my parents weren't well off, but they would have, like, made sure I didn't die on the streets.
Well, yeah. Like, I mean, my mom and sister did that for me at one point when I was so broke that for a while, like, all I had, like, I ate one plate of spaghetti a day for a while, like, because that's all the food. Like, I was rationing spaghetti.
I remember at one point in college. Before I got a job in college, like before I was able to line up something and actually start working, like I definitely didn't have a lot of money in my account. My parents were still paying for a lot of things. And so like my actual like spendable money was not a whole lot. And I was talking to this girl and like she wanted to go out one night and I was like, or it was like right as I had it, like right when I first started my job and she wanted to go out and I was like, yeah, let's wait a couple days. I'm really busy right now. And it was literally just so I could wait to get my next paycheck. So we had enough to go out yeah. and like get a meal somewhere downtown. It was, it was definitely like, I didn't want to lead on to anyone. And I was like, kind of going paycheck to paycheck here. Yeah. But
yeah, that's the thing too. You always have people wanting to go out and then you never, we always grew up from that, like the pride thing, the embarrassment of being
broke. Yeah.
But not wanting
I always set limitations. So our friend group back home, they always used to go out on Wednesday nights at one of the local bars because it was
$5 cover, $1 32-ounce
wells and beers. I worked every Wednesday on purpose when I was a server at a restaurant. I would work every Wednesday. I would only spend that night whatever I made in tips. And to be fair, Wednesday nights are very slow, and I was always the first person out. So if I went there with $7, I was only getting two drinks that night. If I went there with like $35, I was buying rounds for everyone. Yeah. Like it was just one of those things. Like that was my one like, all right, splurge night, I guess. And if I got screwed, I got screwed. I lived with it. But I'd buddy up with someone and have them buy me a drink.
Yeah. And when we had so many people there that it never was an issue.
Yeah. Yeah. That was always...
But you never wanted to admit to being broke because
exactly
like you never wanted to say, no, I can't. And it was always an excuse. I had that before, too, where I would have people asking me to go out and it's like, oh, man, no, I can't. I got to work in the morning or, oh, I got to do something. And it was usually a lie to say, I don't have money. Like, you want to go out on Thursday night. It's like, I don't get paid till tomorrow. I can't afford to go out right now or yeah. I have rent due in 3 days. I can't afford to spend money right now. But it was always, you had to come up with some kind of an excuse or just ghost them. Like, oh, sorry, I fell asleep early. I didn't get your text.
I mean, I don't want to speak for you. Like, I feel like I learned, at least from that, even though I don't have a set budget, I learned how to be smart with money. Like, I learned how
I did later, like later than I should have, because I grew up in such a position of like, I wasn't.
Well, that was the stupid, like I mentioned earlier, it was a stupid like Groupon phase of me. Like, when I thought I started having money. I was like, ooh, and it's cheaper. It's on Groupon, so I can get it now. Like, it was shit I did not need. It was like stuff for my dog and random ski masks. And like, I did a wine tasting. I was like, I don't need to go on a wine tasting right now. I barely got money to pay for food this week. But it was on sale on Groupon. Like, that's the thing. Like, if you're having trouble with money, fucking look up these things. Look up like a Dave Ramsey thing or look up like any of these proven methods that just teach you how to build a budget. It sounds weird from someone who doesn't have a budget, but if you don't know what the hell else you're doing that's your first step and just learning where your money's going. I did at least use an app at first that was like, oh, hey, here's where your money's going every month. And I was like, oh, it gave me some idea. And then I learned how to get around that. I mean, don't want to speak for you, but we're to that point now where I don't have to worry about that as much. So don't worry about like anything we're saying now. We're not broke now.
Yeah. But I mean, I'm not in a position to where it's like, oh, I'm gonna go. Yeah, fuck it. I just want to buy a house. Like I have the money to like put a down payment, like 20% down on the house right today, kind of thing. I'm financially secure and I don't have to. I'm not in a position anymore where I'm worrying about my rent payment, like my bills getting paid. Like I'm making enough to where I'm comfortable. I mean, here's a good factor, like from being in a very borderline poverty situation. I don't pay attention to how much gas I'm putting in my car anymore. I don't pay attention to the dollar amount on my gas. I fill when I get gas, I can fill my tank without worrying about the number.
It sounds like a weird braggy thing. I don't know how much gas costs though.
Exactly. Like I see see it varies every time, but it's like I know I'm financially secure enough to where I can just put gas in my car.
That's it. Yeah, exactly. That was kind of the point, and I realized that quite a few years ago when I got to that point when I realized I didn't know how much gas costs anymore, that I was pretty stable and I could start thinking about the rest of my financial future.
Yeah.
Like, okay, how much am I saving now? How much am I putting? Like, when you stop worrying about the day-to-day stuff, and there's a lot to be done. Like, if you all,
that was
for those listening, the royal
joke. Like, Cat Williams had the joke about you shouldn't be making life decisions at the gas pump.
Yeah.
Which, like I said before, like, I would do that to where I was like, I don't have anything at home, but it's like, McChicken is a dollar.
I used to live off the McDonald's dollar menu.
Yeah. It's like I got 2 days till my next paycheck, but I have no gas and I have to drive 20 minutes each way for work. If I put $11 in right now, I can afford to buy 3 McChickens to get me through.
There's obviously different stages in it. So like if you're really struggling, like I said, you got to figure out where your money's going and what you can do smarter about it.
Yeah.
And like you almost, I'm not saying you got to be a minimalist, but think intentionally about your things and what you're bringing into your life, at least. And is it all necessary? Think like a minimalist. Yeah, you don't have to be a minimalist, but think like a minimalist. Like once you get to that point where you stop realizing how much stuff costs, that's a good spot to be in life, where you stop knowing how much gas costs, you stop knowing how much a gallon of milk costs, you stop knowing how much a chicken costs, whatever.
Not like, so much to where you're not. Yeah, it sounds braggier than it really is.
It does.
It
really
sounds
does
like
it's
like I don't know the value of things. It's not that you don't know the value of it. You're not taking into account every penny.
You're not preoccupied on how much the cost of that is going to impact your life.
Yeah. Oh, like, I used to go to the grocery store and have my, instead of having like a grocery list, I would have my calculator on my phone because I know it was 7% sales tax. So everything I put in my cart, I would calculate. It's like I know I have this much money, and I can't spend over this amount.
It was an on the fly budget, and that's what you have to do to make sure you get the money. Let's go. I feel like there's the next step that I'm getting into now, which is once you have enough money, you need to start saving money. Especially we haven't even talked about loan shit. Loans are ridiculous.
Yeah,
especially student loans, ridiculous. Make sure you're paying them off. Pay off your loans as fast as you can. Like, honestly, any extra money you should have, that you should be allocating that to your loans. Go look up Dave Ramsey's stuff. That's the best way to, my best advice on that end.
Because that's the thing with student loans. They follow you. You can't get rid of them with bankruptcy. Yeah. Student loans follow you forever.
I literally, when you talked about, like, when I moved out to New Jersey, like, we didn't have much at all. And, like, literally going to the dollar store. Our plan was literally pay off my student loans. And then let's start, until I got a job, it was like, let's live tight. But when I got a job, it was like, okay, how much do we need? How much can we save every paycheck? And then after that, it was like, all right, student loans and cars are paid off. So once we needed to get a new car, we sold our other cars, we got a new car. That was the main focus then. So it was like, all right, pay off the car. Once the car was paid off, it was like, all right, we know we need this much in savings for emergency, and then we set our own goal in savings. So, and we're still working on that goal. And it was like, okay, buying a house. We need this much in savings to buy a house. And it was like, now that we have a house, we know we need this much in savings to continue working on our house. When we get to this point, we're going to start investing here and there and there and there. And I mean, neither of us are financial experts and we're both drunk right now.
Yeah.
Don't necessarily take our word for this, but.
But essentially, overall point in that is you don't require an Excel spreadsheet of all your finances, everything to be financially secure, to be in your what? Like, there's different levels to it. If that's the way you want to budget, if that's the way that helps you the best, go for it. But that's not a marker of financial success, financial security with that. Like, you can have an idea of roughly how much you need, and then when you're in a position of like you owning a house, but you know what you need for everything, you're not sitting there just going in blind and then like, oops, we bought a new shed, but now our whatever, like our electric bill's coming up and we don't quite have enough for it, kind of thing. You're never living beyond your means.
Yeah.
You always have an idea of what your means is, and you're staying within that bubble.
For what it's worth, anyone getting started, like we keep mentioning like budget and this and that, you don't have to make an Excel spreadsheet. There are a few apps out there. I'm not advocating for one over the other. I used to use Mint. Mint was a decent one that automatically tracks stuff. There's another one. I mentioned Dave Ramsey a few times. He has one called Every Dollar. That's supposed to be pretty good as well. Again, not advocating for one or the other. But if you need something to help you.
Unless they sponsor us, then we're advocating for that one.
What's that?
It's like, unless they sponsor us, then we're definitely advocating for that one.
There you go. Dave Ramsey, hit me up.
But in my first sentence, I said advocating because I've been drinking because I'm done with all four of my beers. What percentage of these? We didn't discuss that.
I did. I threw mine out there.
I didn't. IBU 27.
That's not the ABV.
It doesn't have it.
Some of them don't. Remember, I opened one on one of our bonus episodes that did not have a ABV on it, and I felt like it was hitting hard. But anyway, I think we've covered a lot. And with that, this has been Wasted Information. I'm Brandon.
I'm Jimmy.
Thanks for listening. If you like what you heard and want to keep up with the show, make sure to subscribe on Spotify, Google, iTunes, or wherever you go to for podcasts. You can also follow us on Instagram at WastedInfo or email us at wastedinfopod@gmail.com. Until next time, this has been Wasted Information.